Good day, beautiful people. Welcome to another episode of the Total Disclosure Podcast. Today is the second episode in which I will be talking about Kate Spade, and I will focus on the more intricate and suspicious circumstances revolving her life, her family, and her death. Picking up where we left off during episode 1, we were discussing the immediate reactions of Kate's family, the Brosnahan family. I spoke how Retta Safo, the sister that was estranged from the whole family, said that she saw it coming, that Kate was depressed, that she tried to get her into treatment. However, this version was discredited by the brother. Retta also alleged that the fashion designer was obsessed with the suicide of actor Robin Williams. People have asked me, what do I think about Robin? Do I think he was about to expose something, or he was one of the bad guys? Honestly, I've seen skits and some things with him that are a bit shady and are a bit suspicious because they have occult symbology. At the same time, you know, a lot of people are forced to participate in this allegedly harmless skits or sequences. And it's not necessarily a fact that they're satanic or they're involved in a cult or, you know, it's a case-by-case scenario. I just haven't looked into the Robin Williams case in a deep way, to be honest. And I'm not planning to do so in the immediate future because of all the murders that I already have to cover for Louder Than Love, which right now I think my list is around 30 or 25. On the film, of course, I'm gonna spend 45 minutes or 1 hour on Chris Cornell, 40 minutes on Chester Bennington, and, you know, the rest I'm gonna divide in between human trafficking, Anthony Bourdain, Monica Peterson, Kate Spade, and other deaths that I will mention at least briefly, because Louder Than Love will be filled with circumstantial evidence, forensic evidence, timelines, and testimonies. That's gonna be my focus. People are not going to get convinced by me putting just 30 names and saying, listen, they were killed because of this and that. I need to prove that Chris and Chester were killed, and that way it will be easier for people to believe that the other people were murdered as well. Because, you know, if you're new to this, it's all a big shock. It's a rude awakening. Not very people are ready for it or open to it. And with Kate Spade, it's funny because I was thinking this was going to be a hard research for me because, you know, I'm really not interested a lot in Kate Spade. I'm not a fashion enthusiast. I mean, you know, I dress simple. I just need a shirt, some jeans, some sneakers or boots, and that's it. You know, a jacket, maybe. But, you know, I figured it was going to be boring. It actually ended up being the opposite. It actually ended up being very interesting, and I ended up finding a little bit more than I expected. And that usually happens, you know, that's usually the case. I find myself researching a subject that I'm maybe not as, you know, enthusiastic about, and I end up surprised, pleasantly surprised. So in this case, I'm happy. I can say I'm happy with the result of this podcast and the articles that I also published. I've been meaning to do Kate Spade for a while before they closed my podcast. I was about to. It was on the list for the next episodes. And of course, you guys know what happened. I was out of the market for 6 months. But now we're back. And now we're going to do whatever we can to bring awareness to the people, to whoever subscribes. At some point, I'm going to publish some episodes for free and add some videos to it. That's on my agenda after the film. Right now, I have not been able to advance a lot on the film because I have limited equipment at the moment. I had some emergency, but I'm getting everything fixed. You cannot believe the amount of problems that I had during the last 3 weeks. I can tell you everything is better now. I fixed at least 3 out of 5 or 6 problems. There's 2 more things I need to take care of before I'm totally happy. So after Errol Brosnahan, the brother, discredited Retta Safo's statements by saying she's estranged from the family for over 10 years now. After Errol set the record straight, if he's saying the truth, the distant sister and her son denounced threats made by the Spade and Brosnahan families. On a statement published by the Daily Mail, Retta Safo confessed that her brother told her, quote, "A public example could equally be made of your private missteps. Be very mindful of what you say," quote. Safo says she received a text from her brother telling her to keep her mouth shut immediately after her piece was published. "I've been threatened by text messages from my estranged family today for having spoken out, for speaking the truth," quote. Her son, I don't know how to pronounce this name, I think it's Leith, was surprised by his family's reaction. Quote, "My aunts and uncles, even Andy and David, are trying to do a cover-up, acting as if she wasn't ill. They were worried about how it could affect the brand. We're reeling from the loss of such an amazing woman. It did not have to happen. She desperately needed help, and my mother and I flew out to her summer home in Napa a couple of years ago to get her into treatment. We came so close to getting her the help she needed, but ultimately we failed. I grieve for my dear sweet cousin Bia, but not for my uncle Andy. He only cared about her and his image." Sounds like a little nice family, doesn't it? I don't know who to believe. I don't know if I can believe the strange sister. Why is she strange? Are the Brosnahan family evildoers too? Some people say her family was involved in a lot of shenanigans, and these people ascend to success and fame in a generational way by bloodlines. Rachel Brosnahan, the actress, you know, it's not a coincidence that she's Kate Spade's niece, you know? Maybe it is, I don't know, maybe she's really talented. Honestly, I haven't seen anything she's in. But it kinda sounds suspicious. Now the nephew is also coming out saying that Andy and David are trying to do a cover-up, which, you know, goes along with the version that she was murdered. You know, you can argue they're doing so for her reputation, for the image of the brand, whatever. I don't think they would be as forceful if that was the case. Some cases are really more confusing than others. By just reading their statements and not interviewing them personally, it's really hard to tell who's lying and who's being honest. There are conflicting versions, for sure. You know, TMZ claimed they learned through a police source that Andy and Kate Spade were divorcing, but Andy denies it. Is he playing it off to save appearances or because of something sinister? You can look at his Instagram page. I think it's still public. I went like 4 or 5 months ago, and you know, I was surprised by the occult elements. And there is a horrible picture of Beatrix, of their daughter. It's a shot from above, which is a trademark for pedophiles. The floor is tiled, it's black and white tiles, the Masonic floor, you know, that represents duality. The duality of man, as above, so below. In the shot, Beatrix has a lollipop, or I think it's more like an ice cream cone kind of thing on her mouth. The way it is photographed, it's not innocent, in my opinion. I don't want to say it, what it resembles, you get the picture by now. In 2016, Kate Spade told People magazine how the couple survived while working together. Quote, "Treat them as well as you would any other employee. What I mean is we need to respect one another as much as you do the other people in the office. I've had to learn to be as respectful. We have different personalities. He's more relaxed, more of a risk taker. I'm a little more detailed and uptight, neurotic." That same year, Kate Spade spoke about how even though she had returned to the world of fashion, her daughter was still her priority. Quote, "I kind of thought taking that time off was unbelievably amazing. I thought it was like a gift. I really did." Quote. It seems she enjoyed her decade-long absence from the media to do charity work and to be with her daughter. Kate is the third big-time designer to pass away, along with Elrond Scott in 2014 and Alexander McQueen in 2010. All these three people were hanging from a doorknob by a red scarf. It's their calling card. There's no doubt these people were murdered. you can argue that Elrond Scott had a history of depression, and so did Alex McQueen, that he was very afflicted by the passing of his mother. But I don't buy it. People just don't hang themselves from doorknobs, guys. And even though these people are doing it, I don't see copycats worldwide doing it. You know, regular people, I mean. Do you remember when Kurt Cobain was murdered? His supposed suicide, self-inflicted gunshot wound, overdose. I think it was 3 or 4 times the toxic heroin dose for him to die. Do you remember the amount of copycat suicides that there was? Overdoses and gunshot wounds. I mean, Seattle Police Department would be sued to oblivion if the cover-up became public, and it is public, the fact that the police chief helped covering it up, or at least some of the detectives involved. Kate's father, Errol Frank Brosnahan Jr., said that they spoke the night before her death. Quote, "She'd be taking some pills, which I advise not to take. I don't know what happened. The last attack with her the night before last, she was happy planning a trip to California to look at colleges. She doted on her daughter." Quote. Unfortunately, Frank died 2 weeks after Kate passed away. It seems he wasn't able to take the pain of the loss. Or maybe something worse. Who knows at this point? He was 90 years old, so you cannot cast doubt on someone of that age dying of natural causes. When Kate died, I saw articles 3 or 4 days later, on June 9th, disclosing that she had problems with alcohol, that she was indeed an alcoholic with depression, and that she was out of control. I don't know who gave these declarations. I don't know why they did it. I mean, if they are supposed to know her, wouldn't they want to wait, try to respect the novelty of the situation? I don't know. It seems all the reports were from after she died, never before. I mean, there's nothing from 2017, 2011, 2013 saying she was depressed or an alcoholic, etc. Now, police sources tell me that Andy and Kate were indeed getting a divorce. They had lawyers already trying to split their assets. The divorce was not filed. They were living apart for 10 months now. I don't know what caused the split. It could be the alleged involvement that Andy had in the cult and the pedophilia. But, you know, David Spade is very involved in the wars of Hollywood. That much is obvious by now. He did it by himself. You know, he exposed himself. He confirmed it when the COVID-19 pandemic started. He, Ellen DeGeneres, Chester Hanks, they shared their public freakouts over the disappearance of Tom Hanks. Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, which is Tony Cornell's godmother, allegedly got ill with COVID-19 in Australia while filming, which I find very doubtful and suspicious. And around the time, they were isolated and people were freaking out. Many believe Hanks is pegged by the US military in witness protection or even executed. Of course, it's all speculation for now due to the strange happenings involving his social media and general appearances. I mean, even now, the last time he appeared in Los Angeles, he didn't look the same. He looks weird. I mean, there's like a before and after he went to Australia. I don't know what's going on. I mean, people know by now that I'm pretty on the middle. I try to be neutral. You know, I want Trump to win because Biden is a pedophile. I think with Trump there's at least a chance, but, you know, I'm not going to be around selling hope. You know, I want Q to be real, but each day that passes that no arrests happen, I doubt it more and more. I have decided that if Trump gets reelected, he has 1 month to start arresting people. 1 month. December. Supposedly things are going to happen this month, but you know, I've been hearing that since May, since April, since this bullshit COVID-19 pandemic started. I mean, last year, shit was supposed to happen with Epstein, and he ended up being murdered or rescued from jail. I don't know. I don't want to lead people to a cliff. So I try to warn people to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. It's all you can do. So, on March 18, David published a video on his YouTube channel. he has a horrible channel in which he pretends to be funny. He's not funny. I never thought he was funny in the first place, not even back then on Saturday Night Live, not even with Chris Farley. Chris Farley was funny sometimes, but to be honest, sometimes he was more cringy than funny. Cringy funny, you know, that kind of humor? It's not my cup of tea, honestly. It never was. But I'm gonna play you an audio with David Spade, and we're gonna analyze it afterwards. First, I'm gonna play you the first video he released on March 18, and then the one he released 2 days later on March 20.
Everybody, it's Spade. Woohoo! It's so weird without tons of applause and standing O's. I'm live from the Lights Out Bunker. We're gonna try to do stuff from my house. It's not super live by the time you see it, but it is my house. It'll be fun. There will be no laughs, it'll be crickets. Actually, even the crickets aren't gonna do shit. They just spread their legs like this. Bad time to make noise. I saw two snails on the way in and I invited them in, but they said, you know what? Not to be weird, but it's a soft pass because it feels boring. Like, I've seen your monologues, I've seen your jokes. It might be more happening in the driveway, which I thought was polite, but not what I wanted to hear. So here I am inside. I'm quarantined, obviously. I mean, even on Pornhub yesterday, they said, hot quarantines in your area. I wonder if that's true. That feels like clickbait. By the way, my brother now talks in all caps. I'll explain, my mom had a back operation during all these shenanigans. She's sort of self-quarantined because she had her L5, L7, L6, bingo, all that fused together where they put pins, I don't even know what happens. But it sucks and she's laying down, so my brother gives me updates. He always wants me to call him. So now it's all Kanye, he's all caps all the time. He's like, call me right now. But of course it's my mom, so I call him, but it's never anything. He's like, how can you tell if it's a weed or a flower out? I go, this isn't, anyway, I get, call me now, and then I get, you won't believe what mom said next. I'm like, that sounds like clickbait. He's talking in clickbait, and it makes me nervous because I'm not calling over that. What mom said today was jaw-dropping. I go, no, I know those terms. I'm not falling for it. And then the next is, this one simple trick mom did left doctors baffled. No, that sounds exactly like clickbait. I'm not doing it. What these cameramen caught these teen girls doing at a pep rally is borderline illegal. Is this still about mom's back? It feels like we're drifting. Tokyo Drift. If you like coronavirus and you don't. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna start doing things. I'm gonna work on that hammock I've been promising to make in the backyard. I might take up watercolors. I was gonna pet the raccoon I saw in the tree 3 weeks ago. Gotta get the ladder for that. Zumba classes, taking a Roomba class, which is weird. Gotta lay out the birthday candles for my cake this summer. That decoupage I started in August is gathering dust. I have to alphabetize my colognes. I've been promising myself I'll do that. That sculpture I've been doing is half finished, the sculpture of Sandler. I've only gotten that far. Here's the thing, I'm just gonna say it could be worse. It could be worse, and I wanna say what would be worse. Would you take this or Godzilla stomping through the country? Now, that's a good question, because right off the bat, I would say Godzilla. You know why? Here's my thinking, because if he misses you, you live. If he steps on you, you die and it's over. But this is like milked out. I don't like that. I like to know what's happening. And with Godzilla, you know where you stand. Also, it depends on where he would walk through America. Like, I don't want the edges, you know, San Francisco and California and LA, and I wouldn't want the whole East Coast. So it sounds rude, but if you would stay sort of in the middle, I'm not gonna say which states. If I could make the map, let's just say that. If I could make the map and no one would know, believe me, you'd be happy with it. Or would you take this, or if Godzilla would just tiptoe without a map, but he tiptoed. Bing, bing, bing. He's very heavy, but it would still suck, but I would take that. I mean, this all rides on Tom Hanks. Let's be honest, Tom Hanks, national treasure. I love him, we did SNL together. He's a fucking stud. But he's down in Australia like Quentin Quarantino, and I don't like the fact that he's not in the box. Forget Willow Smith. Let's get Tom Hanks in a clear box and watch him. Because if Tom Hanks pulls through, we are gonna be so stoked. It's all riding on Tom Hanks, you guys. If anything happens to Tom Hanks, fuck, that shit's over, dude. I'm just gonna be like, shh, on my roof. Bye.
Friday, guys.
I would love an update on Tom Hanks. I don't mean hourly, I mean minutely. I mean, it's literally like huge chunks of time. I want to know what's happening, where's Rita, what are you doing, are you having fun? Tom Hanks is tough, and I think if he pulls through, I'm going to breathe a sigh of relief, and I think he will. He's my boy! Also, best joke yesterday on the comments on Lights Out was, Glenn Close. Who'd have thunk? And then second was COVID 19, which makes me laugh. And then the queen going, rrr. I also want to say quickly, shout out to the wet markets, meaning shut down. The wet markets in China, you know what they are? It must be pandemonium there. But they're not, I don't think they're doing anything about them. You know, guys are still walking up. Can I grab a Cobra sandwich? Nah, you know, the heat's on us. We got a sort of couple days, a lot of flack worldwide. So we're going to kind of, I can get you some rat soup. No bat soup. What did I just say? You want rat soup or not? Yes.
So there you go. What's that all about? I mean, what's the big ruckus? Why is David Spade so worried about Tom Hanks that he's even writing on a notebook on the second video where it says, talk to us, Tom Hanks. Allegedly, these people were worried because Tom Hanks wasn't communicating in any way, and they needed to send these coded messages because their social media and everything they use to communicate, like normal people do, is being watched by the NSA and by the military. So, I mean, that's the theory. Of course, I need to see important arrests to believe that anything is happening, you know. I'm not gonna pretend things are being solved if we don't have any evidence, you know. It pisses me off that people wanna do that. I mean, I guess it makes them feel better. It's just lying to yourself, you know. And as far as Tom Hanks being executed, big doubts on that as well. I mean, where's the evidence? Why not show us what he did? Who else was involved? I know who else is involved with Tom Hanks. I know. Ellen DeGeneres, David Spade, David Geffen. Who else? So he says that Tom Hanks is a national treasure, that he loves him, that he's a stud. I mean, it makes me want to vomit, you know. In what universe Tom Hanks is a stud, I don't know. But national treasure, yeah, because his reputation is squeaky clean, or was, until Isaac Happy outed him, of course. I think Tom Hanks is one of the biggest human traffickers in Hollywood. You know, David Spade saying, forget Will Smith, let's get Tom Hanks in the clear box and watch him, because if he pulls through, we're going to be so stoked, blah, blah. And, you know, the last part is very telling when he says, if anything happens to Hanks, fuck, that shit's over. I'm gonna be like, ch-ch-ch. And he makes the gesture, like loading a shotgun, looking around, all paranoid. Like, you know, it's all over. They're coming to get you. I mean, he's clearly talking about pedophilia, adrenochrome, something involving those things. Human trafficking, children, crimes against humanity, basically. Things that will destroy your reputation, doesn't matter who you are. 2 days later, it seems Hanks never got back to them, and, you know, they were just panicking, what you can see on these monologues. And they're not funny, guys. I mean, they're zero funny. I mean, it's clearly all meant to communicate messages in between them, and I'm not going to speculate what they're saying. It could be anything. Sadly, the most effective sociopaths in our society tend to fool everyone by portraying the opposite. Tom Hanks is one of them. He's been playing the game for so long, most people squeal in disbelief when they hear he's a pedophile. Thanks to brave Isaac Cappy and Sarah Rush Ashcraft, Hanks has been exposed for a while now. The Hollywood whistleblower and musician spent his days denouncing the likes of Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg until the day of his murder. Isaac was thrown out of the Trans-Western Road Bridge and onto I-40 on May 13, 2019, near Flagstaff, Arizona. Before Isaac's murder, Hanks implied previous knowledge of the tragedy. He signaled the death on social media with a post on Route 66. It was a crushed bottle cap in the dirt with a P drawn on it. So you have a cap plus a P, you know, that's Cappy. In that post, Hanks noted, quote, historic Route 66. Roadkill? I hope not. Hanks, quote, that tweet itself contains 39 characters, and Isaac just happened to die 39 days later. That's Masonic coding, numerology, numeral balance, the lemma, and it's not a coincidence. Another post by Hanks hints at Isaac's role in Breaking Bad. There was a green handkerchief that shows the RB from the TV show, from Breaking Bad, and on top of the green handkerchief, it's Hank's red handkerchief. You know, he has a brand of handkerchiefs. I didn't know this before that happened. You know, but allegedly, he's a big fan of handkerchiefs. He's a weirdo. So that itself is a message. That's a coded dual challenge. That's a threat. I mean, there are things that I can decipher because others have done it. And, you know, I just happened to bump into the right information. But, you know, Masonic symbology, it's usually very repetitive. A woman named Sarah Ruth Ashcraft came out in 2018 denouncing Hanks as a pedophile trafficker. She claims her dad sold her to the actor as a sex slave when she was just 13 years old. The actor's children are not shy about their links to Freemasonry, witchcraft, and the infamous Illuminati. You know, you have Chester Hanks with his tattoos, the all-seeing eye, the eye of Horus in his chest. You know, you have him mocking and threatening truthers by saying that the first ones to go to the FEMA camps are going to be the people talking shit about his family, about Tom Hanks. You have Colin Hanks, the other freak that, you know, he was in the cast for Dexter, I believe, for season 5 or 6, I'm not sure. But it was one of the shitty seasons. And, you know, that kid is involved with Shriners, which is a secret society, very similar, almost a carbon copy from Freemasonry. And you have Tom Hanks' daughter claiming to be a witch on social media and, you know, posting witchy stuff. It's all very normal, of course. It's all coincidence. Kate's role on all of this, what is it? People like to mention how Kate Spade was also a trafficker involved in satanic ritual abuse. Some say there were problems with the leather that she imported from Africa, that she had knowledge of what was being done. Some harshly call her the shoemaker, hinting her involvement in the red shoes craft. As you probably know, the red shoes that are worn by the pedophiles and every Catholic pope, as a Luciferian fashion statement, they're supposed to be made of human leather, children's skin. I don't think that's an urban myth. I think that's 100% real. There's pictures of every pope with the red shoes. On the articles that I uploaded, you can see Tony Podesta with some 20 friends of his showing these red shoes and posing with them. I don't know why they would do that, but apparently they're very proud of their footwear. Bill Maher is notorious for using them as well. And other celebrities like Alex Soros and other people in elite circles. Now, I understand why some think that Kate was involved, but I disagree. Yes, occult symbolism was used by her brand a lot, but don't forget, Andy was as involved as Kate was. I mean, Andy was more into the business side. The creativity, the products were Kate's, but I'm guessing Andy had some products of his own as well. I believe he even has a footwear line, and he actually has a brand for equipment to play ping pong. Here are the facts. Kate was the emeritus chair of the New York Center for Children. This organization leads a medical center in healing, preventing, and educating children and families who have experienced abuse in New York City. She became more involved in philanthropy work after leaving her brand in 2007. The NYCC has been one of the causes I've been most devoted to. The center has consistently provided an unmatched level of expertise, care, and comfort to so many children and families that have gone through abuse crisis in New York City. We personally get involved with the team, the children and families. The dedication shown by all has been inspiring to us. Quote, Kate Spade stated in her welcome toast while hosting the NYCC's 18th annual fall event at her home. Now, whatever you want to believe is up to you, but I don't fancy people talking ill of this murder people. I mean, if they're innocent, if they were indeed murdered, overexposing this is pretty terrible. Kate Spade partnered with the Clinton Foundation on at least two major projects. The designer helped operate a media campaign for the Clinton Foundation's No Ceiling initiative. She also worked with the Clintons in Haiti, sending representatives to deal with Haitian business owners on Clinton's behalf. A Clinton Foundation report from 2016 reads, quote, "The Clinton Foundation Haiti initiative works to encourage economic growth, support small business, and empower girls and women in Haiti by helping Haitian businesses develop skills, facilitate investments, and connect with international partners." The Clinton Foundation's Haiti initiative led a delegation that included representatives from West Elm, Kate Spade, Holt Renfrew, Kenneth Cole, and others, on an artisan, fashion, and manufacturing trip in the Port-au-Prince area to introduce them to potential investment and sourcing opportunities, and to develop new partnerships with Haitian business owners. As a result, four new partnerships were formed between international retailers and several Haitian artisan businesses they met during the visit. Now, if David's involvement with Tom Hanks wasn't bad enough, there's always the Clintons to seal the deal. So this is suspicious by itself. Disregard Kate being involved with the NYCC or whatever David Spade is involved in. He's a sick puppy for sure. But this is very telling by itself. Also worth mentioning the recent date of Naya Rivera's death, who dated David Spade, by the way, in 2017. She died at 33 years old, which is Masonic numerology. It symbolizes the murder of Jesus Christ, so they mock Jesus by using the 33. The actress, best known for her role in Glee, accidentally drowned on July 8. Her co-star, Mark Salling, was found hanging on January 30, 2017, after his arrest over the possession of child pornography. He agreed to a plea deal before his death and was delivering those who sold him the 50,000-plus illegal file collection. The names of people involved in that file collection range from Ron Burkle, David Geffen, Charlie Sheen, I even heard Jared Leto. I think 50,000 plus images is very sick. It's gotta be someone that's been doing it for quite a while. Or I don't know. I don't know how it works, guys. I think the way he was murdered and how effective it was, most likely it was somebody big. So I tend to think Ron Burkle or David Geffen, because Charlie Sheen is, honestly, he's already exposed. There's nothing to hide as far as Charlie Sheen being a pedophile and a sick fuck. I used to be a fan of Charlie, actually. I liked 2.5 Men. You know, I was 17 years old when it came out. It was pretty great. Almost unwatchable now, knowing what I know. Kate Spade's net worth was estimated to be around $150 million at the time she died. Cui bono. Her husband and business partner Andy Spade, and her Francis Valentine partner Elise Arons, who I discuss, is radicated in Palm Beach and might be involved in the whole Jeffrey Epstein fiasco. Now, there's also some mention about, you know, import-export associations with the Clintons that can be traced from China and Mexico to Long Beach. Few people know this, but Long Beach, California, the port of Long Beach, was the biggest human trafficking operation in the United States. I believe it's already under control to some extent. It was owned by China. I think it was reappropriated by the US government. There was a spin-off company being used to traffic children through containers via sea, via water, and it all traces back to the Clinton Foundation. There's also numerology involved in the Kate Spade's death. I'm not very fan of doing numerology because it's not my strongest suit, and I think it just becomes too confusing for a lot of people, but here we go. Kate Spade died in New York at the age of 55 years and 5 months old. Steve Bing, who was murdered this year, thrown out of the 55th floor from the building he used to live at was 55 as well. Now, these numbers are commonly used in the shenanigans that these people commit. The American invasion of Baghdad, for example, happened 555 days after 9/11. The 555 Pentagon across the 555-feet-tall Washington Monument, you know, George W. Bush and Dick Cheney were born 5 years, 5 months, and 5 days apart. You know, all that's crazy by itself. If you do Jewish gematria, Kate is 116, Spade is 116 as well. Now, Kate Spade died 6,111 days after 9/11, which is a perfect mirror reversal date from the 116. Like Bourdain, dying 3 days later at 61 years, 11 months old. And even when you break down the date that she died, the same sequence can be found. 6 plus 5, it's 11. 1 plus 8 is 9. Celebrity suicide, it's 161. Kate Spade altogether is 161 in Jewish gematria. Blood sacrifice is 116 and 611. Alleged suicide is 116. Choked is 116. So listen to this. Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain were born exactly 6 years and 6 months apart, and both allegedly died from suicide by hanging. Hanging is 66. Fake suicide is 66. In Jewish gematria. Her coded birth name, Catherine Noel Brosnahan, is 999, which is satanic gematria. It's perfectly synced with New York, which is 666, which is Bourdain's hometown, and that's where Spade lived after she had success with her brand. And let's not forget that Inés Orrieta, the sister of Queen Máxima, died on June 6th. Still playing with the numbers 966, 696, 999, and 666. Rockstar in Jewish gematria is 666. Otis Leif is 966. Chris Cornell is 66. Chester Bennington is 69. Chester is 666. Bennington is 66. And we should take this opportunity to remind ourselves that Kurt Cobain died at the age of 9,906 days old, and his body was discovered 9,909 days after his birth. So, you know, this is all very freaky. I don't like it. You know, I just wanted to mention this numerology involving Kate Spade because it seems really shocking how it keeps, you know, throwing the same numbers. I've done my first share of gematria investigation, and you know, some people believe it's a distraction. Some people believe that you're not supposed to mess with it. Well, if these people use it to communicate or to plan their hits and their false flags and their crimes, I think it's quite useful to give it a look every once in a while, you know. But that's it. This is the second episode of Kate Spade. That went up fast. As you can see, you know, I compiled more information that everyone had published before. I love doing that, honestly. Because I think a lot of people can say, hey, Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain were murdered, but they always fail to decently and efficiently present the evidence in a way that is convincing and it shows all the connections. It's very important to do that. That's why I'm here. That's what I'm good at, and that's what I'm going to keep doing. So, thank you very much for listening. As you probably know, we have new merchandise. Please check the link on the podcast description. You can buy shirts, you can buy hoodies, you can buy coffee mugs, whatever you prefer. There's some jewelry in there, dog tags, cushions, towels, whatever you want. I am aware that there's an annoying sound on the recording. The microphone is not working correctly. I need to fix that ASAP, but I'm going to have that fixed. We'll talk later. Take care.
The good part is that we share the same aesthetic and we like the same things. And she happens to be very, very detail-oriented. And I happen to think more conceptually in ideas. So I'll come up with an idea like inspiration from an architect or a building for a shoe or something that I found on the street. And I'll do a very rough sketch. You wouldn't even call it a sketch, actually. And it's almost like someone's setting a volleyball up, and then Kate will come along and she'll make sure all the details work. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a team of someone setting something up and someone finishing it. I think that's how we usually work.
Yes. I will say that you do these rough sketches, which I have to work, and I go with them because I do understand what he's saying. And he's very simple, and I understand his aesthetic very well. I mean, we've been together over 30 years.
Wow, let's, like, get a round of applause for that. That's awesome. How do you think it's changed working together since having a child, if it has?
I do all the work now.
Okay, that is such a joke. I do all the work. What is the headmaster's school's middle name or mid or his
oh,
name?
Oh no, we're getting quiz now.
Yeah,
this is the beauty of being together 30 years. I have ADDHLMNOP. If you know what that is, my memory is terrible, but.